Turn with me, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 2. We will be looking at verses 1 through 10 for our meditation today. Verses 1 through 10 of Exodus chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." So ends the reading of God's word. God's providence is very mysterious in the way he works and how he deals with his people. I would like to look at these verses and understand that as we begin, we know that the Pharaoh had ordered the killing of all the boys, of all children. And Moses' mother was trying to spare his life. And the Lord directed Pharaoh's daughter to pick him up and take care of him and give him back, actually, to his mother to nurse him. So it's mysterious, and everyone likes a mystery. We like to see how things are going to work out. Actually, when God in his providence brings some kind of mystery into your life, you like to see how it will work out. It's the process of not knowing what will happen or how things will work out that is difficult for us. Well, what we have a mystery here in Exodus 2. However, we have a reader's advantage in this, and that we know the end of the story. I would like you to put yourself back into the lives of Moses' mother and sister and father and all those involved. And at the same time, see how the mystery of God's providence is always at work, even in our lives, because of his great love for us. Old Testament believers were saved the same way as New Testament believers, by grace through faith in the Messiah. And he gives us a glimpse here of just how much he loves us by demonstrating how his mighty hand works in ways that we cannot see. The first thing I'd like you to notice here in Exodus 2, 1 through 10, the quietness of God's providence. The quietness of God's providence. The first point under this I'd like you to see, to notice, is first of all, notice the generic nature of things. Notice the generic nature of things. A man, a wife, a woman. It seems like an everyday normal event, maybe a boring day, who knows. No names are given. It's for you and me to see that our loving Heavenly Father is present with us, directing our lives on those days when everything seems to be normal, and yet it was not so normal here. Every day, and it seems so quiet, like nothing major is happening. He marries a man from Levi, marries a woman from Levi tribe, She conceives and has a child. No names, just like a normal life. And yet God is at work. Look at Psalm 62, verses 6 through 8 for a moment. Psalm 62, verses 6 through 8. It says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Notice this. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So, all the time. Trust in Him all the time. Even when you see these things, realize that God is at work. And in the most difficult and hard days, remember at all times, trust in Him. The second thing I'd like you to notice. Notice the normal activity of life. Notice the normal activity of life, the quietness of God's providence. He took her as a wife and she conceived. It's very interesting. God's name is not mentioned in these verses, yet you know He's present and active, very active. They might have wondered, where is God in what they were going through? Don't you at times wonder the same thing? Don't you at times say, where is God? I don't understand. You know, we don't understand, but God is always present. And He was present with them here. And His name is not mentioned at all. Maybe some of you figured you have a boring life. You know, maybe everybody you meet seems to be boring. But you know, you never know what may be going on behind the scenes on one of those boring days. Days that seem so normal. Because on one of those boring days, a son was conceived that changed the life of the people of Israel forever. Forever. Moses. There was also another day when a young woman conceived a son who changed the world. And his name was Jesus. Kind of quiet, quietly delivered the Messiah. Very quiet, but God was very present. So we notice the generic nature of things, the normal activity of life. But also notice, thirdly, the quiet presence of God. The quiet presence of God. There is something taking place here that will touch and affect God's covenant people forever. But no one knew it. No one knew it except the Lord. It's all, you might say, behind the scenes. God is very quiet at times. He still works that way often. We have a God who is mysterious, but a God who is committed to His people and loves His people. Let me show you an example of this quietness of God and behind the scenes. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Second Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And this was when Elisha, when the king was after Elisha, and they came around at night and they circled where he was around the mountains. It says, verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike the people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. there was a problem, but Elisha wasn't afraid because he knew that he was surrounded by the Lord's army and the Lord would defend him. But no one saw that. No one saw that. And when his servant saw it, it encouraged him and he no longer worried. The quietness of God's providence, the generic nature of things, the normal activity of life, and the quietness and the quiet presence of God. Secondly, I'd like you to notice the suspense of God's providence in verse 3 through 6. The suspense of God's providence. Notice the tension, first of all, the tension of God's providence. The tension of God's providence in verses 3 through 6. Notice it says she could no longer hide him. That's what she was doing. But he was getting too big. She couldn't do that. Doesn't there always seem to be things that create tension in your life? When one goes away, another one takes its place. Some have very serious issues. Moses' family, for instance. Their child, what was going to happen to him? Or maybe you have things as well where you see the tension of God's providence. Maybe a child born with a serious handicap, a parent who is aging, all kinds of issues. But it is through providence, even the most difficult ones, that God moves his people where he wants them to be. Look at Proverbs 16:9 for a moment. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So every day, we have our plans. And sometimes they go awry. Sometimes we just, it just doesn't happen the way we plan it. But that's because the Lord directs our steps. And he puts us where he wants us to be. And that's what he does. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. The tension of God's providence. You never know what God is doing. And he does that to develop trust and patience in our lives, knowing that we don't know what's going to happen, but he does. And he wants us to trust him. Secondly, notice the heart-wrenching difficulty of God's providence. The heart-wrenching difficulty of God's providence. Sometimes it is like this. When it's so difficult and hard, the things you have to do, you have to go through. Notice it says that she laid him, took the basket, and put it in the reeds. Do you realize? Can you imagine? Can you feel how heart-wrenching this was for Moses' mother, father, and family? Could you do this with your son? Put him there not knowing what was going to happen. Do you realize how hard it was for the father to put his son on the cross? What love he has for you, his people. Heart-wrenching. We have many of those in life. Moses' family here as well. But the heart-wrenching account of God sending his son and putting him on the cross because he loves you and me is amazing. Third thing I'd like you to notice under the suspense of God's providence, notice the uncertainty of God's promise. The uncertainty of God's providence. Notice his sister, Moses' sister, stood there to know what would be done, what would happen. She was there. They were all concerned. Will he drown? Will Pharaoh's daughter have him murdered like the other babies? What would happen? I think it's pretty obvious why Moses' sister watched what would happen when Pharaoh's daughter saw him. They just couldn't bear to see what could happen. So she stood from a distance. Now it's interesting that Ramses, who was the Pharaoh, Ramses II, had 162 children. And when it came to children, he had no idea who was who. So many children, he didn't know. And yet, he used his daughter, Pharaoh uses his daughter, to take care of Moses. Do Do you ever wonder about your family, your children, your grandchildren, when you're not here anymore to help them? Do you ever wonder about that? How will they get along? Well, they will be secure because their lives are in the Lord's hands. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a verse that, one of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Trust in him completely with all your heart. And don't try to understand things that are happening because we can't. That's why it says lean not on your own understanding, because that's what we tend to do. But in all your ways acknowledge him. The Lord is here. The Lord is directing. And he shall direct your path. The suspense of God's providence, the tension of God's providence, the heart-wrenching difficulty of God's providence and time at times, and the uncertainty of God's providence. Thirdly and lastly, the mystery of God's providence. In verses 7 through 10, the mystery of God's providence. Notice the power of God. Notice the power of God. The Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses, saw the basket. She has her, one of her maids go and get it. She opens, she sees this baby crying. And her heart was touched. The Lord caused her heart to touch Moses, to want to care for Moses. You know, it's very interesting about the power of God here. Pharaoh wants to wipe out Israel, and God uses his own household to prevent it. Isn't that amazing? God used his enemies to secure the future of God's people. God often uses his enemies to bring about his will. He does that in ways that we can't understand, but he does. Look at Esther chapter 7. I will look at verse 6 and 9 through 10. Esther 7, verse 6 and 9 through 10. Notice what happens here. Now, Haman was going to try to wipe out all of Israel. He had this decree, and he wanted to hang Mordecai. So he had these gallows made, and made sure it was very strong. And look at what God does by his power. And Esther said, now the king comes in, and Esther asks questions, and she says this about this. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is the wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Now Harbonai, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubit high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Isn't that amazing? And it was all because the king couldn't sleep one night. And of course, the Lord did that. He started reading in his history, and he realizes what Mordecai did for him, and he wanted to reward him. The power of God. He turns things his way. It's mysterious, but he does. And it's all powerful. The second thing I want you to notice, which we kind of picked up on the first point as well, notice the humor of God. Notice the humor of God here. I will give you wages. I'll give you your wages to take care of this baby. Pharaoh's daughter pays Moses' mother. Do you see how humorous this here? No doubt they, like other families in Israel, had difficulties making ends meet. And here Pharaoh is going to help them and help raise the little one who will deliver Israel from Egypt. Isn't that amazing? I'll pay you. I mean, what a turn of events. They were so fearful of what might happen. And then Pharaoh's daughter says, I'll give you wages. It's amazing. God is humorous. Another humorous account is found in Esther chapter 6. Verse 8 through 10, after the king woke up the night I was telling you he couldn't sleep, and he realized that Mordecai had done these things, and the key comes, Haman comes into the king, and the king says to him, "What should I do for a man that has done so much for the king?" Is in essence, and Haman thought he was talking about him, right? But he wasn't. Look at verse 8. "Let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal chest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princesses, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on the horseback throughout the city and proclaim before him. Thus it shall be done," it says. "Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." And Haman is eating this up. He thinks he's talking about him. This is what he says. "Then the king said to Haman, 'Hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gates. Leave nothing undone for all that you have spoken.'" Isn't that amazing? Everything he wanted done for him was now going to be done for Mordecai. Amazing how God's providence works. And lastly, notice the promise of God. Notice the promise of God. Here, again, God working. She calls him Moses. She calls him Moses, Moshe, which means to draw out or rescue. Pharaoh's daughter gave him the name, which means to draw out or rescue. She gave him a name that would foreshadow what he would do in bringing Israel out of Egypt. God's providence. It's mysterious. But you see him work even in the last moment. Sometimes it's something that happens just maybe seconds before it's too late. But he does. God's providence, quietness, suspense, and mystery. That's how the providence of God works in your life as well. The life of his people and the life of his church. One thing is certain, and that is God's perfect will be done. What he has ordained from before the world was created will come to pass. And that ought to encourage you in knowing that a God that loves you so much that he sent his son to die for your sins, who has promised to love you and direct your life and never leave you at any moment or time, is working behind the scenes. Through the mystery of providence, directing all the affairs of your life, sometimes quietly, sometimes suspensefully, but always bringing about his perfect will for your life. Many things go on behind the scenes that we aren't aware of. People we talk to, places he takes us, things he keeps us from. It's all a mystery of his providence, and we can believe that. You have a mysterious God that you can trust. It's not a God that you can't trust that's mysterious. You have one that you can trust. And you can rest your head in the pillow of God's providence every day, knowing that he is at work. Oh Lord, bless this word to our hearts. Help us to understand that you are always at work in some of the most crisis events of our life, and sometimes very silently, where we don't seem to see anything, but you're at work. Encourage us in all of this, we pray, Lord. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.